What's up, nerds? And welcome back to your weekly dose of all that is pop culture and nerdom with your three favorite fat nerds. That's right, it's time for the flagship Three Fat Nerds podcast, better known as 3FN. And as always, we are coming to you from the 8122 Production Studios at Dragon Master Games. I'm your host, Rich, and joining me, as they do each and every week, my two besties. First up, he is the man who just this past weekend filled over 100 eclairs with some yummy, yummy goodness. Hey. I'm talking about Ron.
Hey, the veterinarian told me it was all good.
And of course, he's the man that doesn't need an introduction, yet he has the longest introduction in all of podcasting. Ladies and gentlemen, it's hashtag Big Natty Cool, hashtag Mad Dog Strong Style, hashtag Challenge Accepted, hashtag Diesel Malenko, because he's the man of 1,004 hashtags. He is the leader of the Minnows Gang and your favorite podcaster's favorite podcaster. He is the man, the myth, and the legend, rolled into one jolly old ginger-bearded feller. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Diesel.
The eclairs are better when they're still warm.
Fresh, you know, when that light is on at Krispy Kreme is the best time to stop. Let's be honest. You can't turn it down. Even if you're full from the double, the Bang Bang you've already ate, and this is dessert for Bang Bang, you have to still take at least eat one of them while they're hot.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Rules. Oh. Although, duck donuts, oh, I got to take you there, man. Duck donuts, whoo.
So good.
It's the greatest on the planet. But anyways, enough about that. I hear that we had some news in the world. We'll start with Diesel because everybody's been waiting on bated breath, Diesel. Last we checked with you in your D&D campaign, young Lothario Diggler met the end. He went out doing what he loved doing. You know, jerking off in a corner somewhere while he was being slaughtered. So, Diesel, I hear you have some news, maybe good news, about Lothario Diggler.
Lothario Diggler has been resurrected. My prior good deeds with Birdie the Healer paid off tenfold, and I got the good old healing.
Wait a minute. You had good deeds?
I had good deeds.
So, the stealing the gold from the slave was not held against you?
It was not a slave. I asked for petty cash. He provided a single gold piece. I took it as petty cash. Yes. But yes, my character was resurrected, pulling out of titty heaven to come back into a world of pain. So yeah, we successfully completed the mission. I was the only casualty, well, only playable casualty. All our NPCs also died. Got resurrected. Things were looking good. We had a uneventful session afterwards because we had to go make sure, like, 8 different people were cool with the new leadership change.
Yeah, that happens.
And surprisingly, we got it done without having to get into any encounters. So that was a plus. I'm trying to convince the party that the one who can make like a mechanical arm for the one-armed butcher, because he misses jerking off, I really want them to put in a trap where it just locks onto him. Not saying that we're going to use it. But if we need to, and we need to go back to the butcher and he's not willing to work, next time he goes for a wank, it just, like, pops it off.
Why didn't he just learn to use his other hand so he doesn't have to worry about a metal?
Because he was right-handed before and he misses.
Well, here's the problem. I am also right-handed. But in the world where I use a mouse with my right hand, I learned a long time ago that it was easier for me to learn how to use my left hand to jerk with than learn how to use a mouse with my left.
I'm the other way. I learned how to use the mouse with my left.
Some of us are switch hitters, but he misses his special time. And, you know,
of course, Diesel's a switch hitter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Switch and direction. Oh,
hi-yo. He's the only one that gains a stroke when he switches hands.
Hi-yo.
But yeah, so my character Lothario Diggler is back alive. We are taking this week off, so our next campaign setting will be next week Tuesday. But yeah, we are back and we got into no fights. We convinced everybody not to be aggressive. We got to blackmail some because of my connections at the Calico Club. Two of the local politicians that we had to get on board were frequent guests at the Calico Club.
All the better.
Yep. I may have mushroom stamped one with a double-sided dildo.
Okay.
He then sniffed the dildo as we were leaving.
It happens.
Yeah. So.
You make it sound like I'm shocked. Yeah. I'm not shocked at all.
I think the DM was a little shocked that I asked for a melee weapon, if you will, from the Calico Club, and then I just used it to smack the guy who was asleep at his desk and then tossed it at him when we were done.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
So, yeah.
So, Ron, any good news on any of your campaigns you got going on? I know they're not as drawn out as Lothario Diggler's adventures.
We finished. We're on book 8 of the Dungeon in a Box campaign, but the new campaign for 5th edition came out. So, I don't know if we're going. Obviously, we're not going to be able to finish because there's 13 books. I think 12 books, 13.
12 or 13.
I think there was an extra one.
I think you said there was an extra one.
So. I'm not sure if we're going to finish that up or just put it on hold afterwards. It was pretty uneventful all the way around for this week. It was nothing major. We were, you know, we went through and just were moving the story forward. We had a couple encounters. Nothing really stood out this time. Not in a bad way. It just was one of the normal day. Nothing, you know, super good. Like riding, you know, a giant hermit crab with a dragon's skull as a shell. Didn't have it.
Well, the highlight for ours this week was after we were done, we had a housewarming party for the slave that I apparently robbed, and I kissed him, and he did not like it. But I took the less, I took the hit, and we stopped kissing him.
Yeah, we're trapped in a school, basically a school library, to give us information, a magic school for information that we need. And we already broke one thing, you know, and we weren't supposed to break things or touch things that we weren't supposed to. So the guards came and fought and, you know, we beat them. So I'm sure because of all this, something bad's going to happen at the end. But like I said, I don't know if we're going to get through it all by the time we start the next campaign. Not quite sure what I'm going to play in the next campaign. I have a couple ideas. I don't know what everybody else is playing yet. So who knows, you know. Probably won't be the Living Band-Aid again.
Yeah, there you go.
We need one for our get group.
So you two gentlemen had fun doing that. I on the other hand, I did not play any D&D. Nothing against it, but I did go. I did watch some GCW wrestling, and nice. I went to Six Flags Great Adventure for Fright Fest. I had a lot of fun. If you want to hear all about that trip, we talked about it on Patreon because I promised my wife I wouldn't talk about it on the regular podcast. All I'm going to say is Godsmack. Anyways, it was a lot of fun. We had a great time. Watched some football. I talked a lot of shit because the Raiders, even though they won, they pissed me off.
Because they had to win in overtime. At least the Rams, you know, took out Tampa Bay with no problems.
Yes, I picked the Buccaneers because they were the underdog, and I needed a leap. So they let me down there. Not saying that I really wanted them to beat the Rams, but, you know, I was happy with the game. But at the same point in juncture, when the Buccaneers are an underdog, you take them.
Yeah.
In the same way, I picked the Packers because the Packers were also elite this week. But, you know. And then the Raiders, of course, didn't give me 2 points, but they did give me a point because they didn't cover the fucking spread because they're assholes. But but the Arizona Cardinals, although they gave me a heart attack all game long, did end up covering the spread and give me 2 points.
Yes.
Box and leaps. So very excited about that because I hit up another 4 points this week.
Yeah, I completely forgot that was going on, and I'm just like...
Yeah, it's okay. 4 points. I got another 4 points this week, so I'm clawing my way back towards the top because my opening week I only got 2 points. But now we're getting hit in the strides. But yeah. It's always the beginning of the season. It's hard to judge because everybody does differently than what they normally would do anytime else. So whatevs. Good times, though. But I hope everybody at home had a great week. And you know what? We always like to hear from you guys. So if you would like to, make sure you hit us up and follow us on all of our social medias. We are on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. And we're on TikTok. 3 Fat Nerds Pod. Throw an at in front of it if you have to. For all those links, plus where you can stream the show and learn about everything we do here at 8122 Productions, go to 8122productions.com. Also, while you're at it, while you're there, check out the link to the T Public store. Get you some great swag. You can help support the show and rock some awesome swag. More to come in the near future. Of course, also, make sure you're signed up for twitch.tv/607podcast. Every week we give you 607 TWS. This week we took a week off because I got to do parenting things. Let's just be honest. That's what it is. And sometimes you have to be responsible. And, you know, it is what it is. But other than that, we do 607 TWS. They're live every week, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, we go live for wrestling pay-per-views. UFC will be making a return next month. I didn't do this week's because I was out of town, but we will be doing that. And then, of course, after Comic-Con stuff, we'll be figuring out times to do some D&D and all sorts of great stuff. So you want to get ahead of the curve, make sure you're following us over there on twitch.tv/607podcast. And last but not least, if you would like to support us monetarily for as little as $1 a month, you can do that over at patreon.com/8122productions, and you get a ton of extra bonus content. You get this show early, plus it's the uncut, unedited, uncooked edition where you get bonus talk, and it's a lot of fun. And then, of course, you get Horizon 607, and it's the unslashed edition, so same thing, early and unedited. And then last but certainly not least, you get the two exclusive for Patreon shows, I Love Movies, where we dissect movies that we love from our past. Did they stand the test of time, or did they fall short? And then lastly, not least, the hottest show behind the paywall, Love is Scary, with Dr. Derek and Spooky Mike. And I do believe this month we're going to be recording it this week at the at tail end, because I've been preparing for New York Comic Con. But I do believe we're going to dive into Mike's Tinder account. Ooh. Maybe Diesel can help him. Help him be successful in Tinder.
Get rid of Tinder, get Grindr.
But with that being said, all that and much, much more. And if you sign up before the 30th, next month we are giving everybody in the $3 tier, that's the top tier, Chubby Chaser tier, everybody is getting a free exclusive 3FN shirt, because we're going to Comic-Con, so we wanted to gift you with something as well. So all of that, plus much, much more over there at patreon.com/8122productions. By the way, for all of those links, they are in the liner notes to this very podcast. Just go ahead and click the links, and it'll take you right there, and it's easy, easy peasy lemon squeezy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I did not come to the end of that song. Did not come to the end of that song for once. I'm very proud of myself. But with that being said, it is time for this week's edition of the Nerd News. Yeah. And let's just open up with it, man. I got something that made Diesel more hard than Blue Chew. Blue Chew ain't got nothing on the fact that Diesel saw the season 4 trailer for Cobra Kai. Diesel, what are you feeling, brother?
So good. They're going to strike first. Well, pre-strike. So good. looks amazing. Silver looks a little iffy until he pulls his hair back, then it's back in.
Yeah, you know, he's gotten old.
Yeah, he got real old. But it looks still so awesome. Good. Yeah, it looks
still
so good.
Awesome. I cannot wait for this. We still do not have a salad date for it. Salad. It is December. We do know it's now official. They moved it from January to December.
Yeah.
But we don't have a salad date yet. I'm still betting on Christmas.
I thought it said the 31st. At the
is
end.
It the 31st?
Yeah.
Did it say the 31st at the end?
I thought it said 31st.
But
they can move it again. I'm still saying Christmas. Yeah. I don't care if they say 31st. I'm still saying Christmas. I wasn't paying attention at the end. I came. Oh. That's what happens. After you come, you don't really fucking pay attention.
I was
man.
Already lighting a cigarette.
I was, you know that blinking moment you have after? That's where I was at.
It oh my God. Looks so good. I cannot wait.
Speaking of coming, by the way, if you're local here in the 607, coming up this upcoming weekend when I'm at, not this weekend, the weekend after, when I'm at New York Comic Con, Diesel, you can run into Diesel at the Speedy Fest. I'm sure he's going to be there stalking Paintless. I mean, trying to get an autograph.
I will be the fat guy with a speedy stain on my brand new Bare Naked Ladies t-shirt, just running wild.
Very good, Diesel. Very good. I'll be at New York Comic Con, so I will not be there. So you'll have to let me know how it is. By the way, I thought they had a pretty good lineup this year.
Yeah. I unironically, I love Bare Naked Ladies, and I actually think about going.
You should. And also, Peyton List is there. Yeah. You should definitely go.
That's all the reason
just
I
so
go.
You can gawk. Just so you can gawk. I know Diesel, when I told Diesel she had an Instagram, man, you should have seen his face light up.
I do follow her on Instagram.
Well, yes.
After, yeah, who wouldn't?
I also follow her on Instagram, ironically enough. But I'm just pointing this out, that after I told you, you were like, ooh.
Yeah.
Speaking of trailers, let's talk about another trailer that came out this week. Well, technically a teaser trailer. We got another teaser trailer for Stranger Things Season 4, The Creel House.
Yes.
Fucking weird.
Yeah, I really thought I was the only one. I'm not gonna lie. That's why I didn't bring it up. I'm like,
I'm not saying it's bad. But
no,
weird.
I thought I was missing something.
So my guess is, It opens up with this family moving into this house and weird stuff happens. So I'm guessing like sort of like an Amityville horror type of thing happened in that house in the 50s. And now the kids are investigating in the house. That's my guess.
It could be.
I would say that's a good guess.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this. I dug it enough and I still left enough of a mystery that it was good for me. Because as you know, I really do hate when people have these long drawn out ones that tell us everything. So it was nice to see a teaser where we didn't get too much of the story, but yet it gave you enough to be like, oh, man, I want to see this. It's kind of like the last teaser they did with Harbor being alive over there in Russia.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, there's a David Harbor spotlight at New York Comic Con this year that nice. I'll probably be attending unless something else comes up nice. As of right now. So I'm enjoying this. I can't wait.
Yeah, it looked really interesting. But yeah, I think they're just like checking out this house that's like, you know, notorious in their town for being haunted or something like that. That's my guess. Maybe. And how is it going to tie into everything? I have no idea.
Yeah, well,
but it looks pretty cool.
I mean, obviously I'll watch it and I'll watch it all in one night because, you know, Netflix and you can binge it. And
yeah, absolutely.
My next 3 months at work, I'm off for a third of it.
Yeah.
So
good job.
I'm like, you're just broken up a little bit. But
well, guess what else we got a trailer for? The animated Injustice movie. And this looks badass.
It does.
I mean, I was happy when they made the announcement.
Yeah.
But this trailer looked badass. How'd you guys feel about the Injustice trailer?
This trailer looks great. I'm the only one here that's ever played the Injustice game. But I basically know the story. I want to see this. I want to see this so hard. I cannot wait.
Oh, yeah.
That punch is fucking brutal.
Oh. Whenever the Joker punch, yeah. Which you need to have, which is fine. And I'm good with it, like, all the way around. It just, you know, I'm a little, you know, the fact that it's just, he goes through Solomon Grundy, I'm like, okay, then, you know, he needs to go through somebody else. Because Solomon Grundy's already dead. Come on, people.
It don't matter. It just looks great. DC Animated rarely lets anybody down.
I have yet to watch The Long Halloween yet. Has anybody watched that yet?
I have. It's very good.
Is it? All right,
you should watch it.
Yeah.
I have DC Animated is the best.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to lie. It's the best. If Marvel is, you know, with What If, it was a different style and I was all right with it, but it's still not DC.
Yeah.
No.
DC has their animated game on point. The live action movies, not so much.
Which they should just let the people running the animated just.
That's the logical thing to do, but no. Also, speaking of going back to Netflix though, for a minute, we got the Netflix released the opening credits for Cowboy Bebop. And listen, I'm going to tell you, I was already excited for the show, but this still got me more excited. I get to see a little more of the characters. I really dig this. I'm going to be a big fan. Cannot wait for it. How did you guys feel about the Cowboy Bebop open? Ron, go first.
Yeah, I'm good with it. I mean, it's almost, you know, shot per shot, except they added some of the, you know, the other characters that you'll meet. But when I saw that, I was like, oh, yep. I mean, the only mystery character is Edward, if she shows up or not.
Right.
I'm assuming she does. Cause I think there's a quick little glance of her in the opening credits.
I think there
it was that quick little shit.
Shot, but she's the one character we have not seen full on yet.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe something's up where that'll be the end of it or something. Cause this will take place before they meet her. And then, but you know, you get to see the dog. I forget the dog's name. I'm horrible at this game.
Yeah. Diesel, how'd you feel about it? And you've never seen the anime, correct?
Never seen it. Ron showed me, though, the animated opening, and I did really appreciate the Netflix opening based off of that, because they pretty much shot for shot. It looks great. I would probably will check this out before I actually check out the animated. So I love John Cho. So
yeah, I like just the fact of all the work that he did to get into shape and the look that he has. I mean, I understand it's costume and makeup and all that other stuff, but that's just worth it to me. Like I bow down to him right now.
Cowboy Bebop hits Netflix on November 19th. Guess what though? 2 weeks before that, guess what hits Netflix? Because they made the announcement today. Big Mouth. Season five. This is season five, November 5th. It hits Netflix with the tagline, it is going to hit where it hurts. Diesel, are you still excited for the Big Mouth?
After the last season, not as much, but I will still binge it in one night and probably hopefully enjoy it.
Question, are you more excited for this? Because this will technically be the first season that Pete Davidson, wink, wink, is the voice in the show. Because remember, John Mulaney is no longer John Mulaney. He's Pete Davidson. Yeah. By the way, we're doing the Mulaney shirts again at work, so it's even better.
God damn you, Pete Davidson.
So if you go to the John Mulaney stand-ups anytime soon and you see the John Mulaney face shirts where it's him as a child, and actually all of his shirts, we print them at my work. So we love John Mulaney / Pete Davidson, if you believe that conspiracy theory. I cannot wait myself. I'm a fan. You know I'm a fan. Cannot wait. Next up, we got really, 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 really good news for those of us in attendance, and that is what makes the difference. Night Court. Remember when we said that they were going to be doing a new spin on Night Court, being produced and starring John Larroquette? Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It has been greenlit. The pilot must have gone well with NBC because, according to Deadline, it is a go. The series will be starting there. It is based on the original series created by Reinhold Weege. The multi-camera Night Court centers on an unapologetic, optimistic Judge Abby Stone, played by Melissa Rauch of Big Bang Theory fame.
Okay.
She is the daughter of the late Harry Stone. Of course, we know in real life he has passed on. Who follows in her father's footsteps as she presides over the night shift of a Manhattan arraignment court and tries to bring order to its crew of oddballs and cynics. Most notably, former Night Court prosecutor Dan Fielding, with Larroquette reprising his role.
Nice.
So we've got quite a bit here, and guess what? We're gonna get it. It's a go, and I can't wait to see it. How about you guys? Are you guys still excited?
I'm fine with it. I've been watching the old reruns on Laugh or whatever it is, because I don't have cable. So, but like, I've been watching the old reruns, and they still hit it at home, even though Fielding is a little Me Too-ish back then. So I don't know what's gonna happen here.
Oh, they'll probably play into that. Like, he'll probably been like, a lot calmer because he got in trouble back in like the late 90s or something like that.
Well, maybe that's why he's overlooked at being a judge.
Yeah.
You know, instead, because our first initial thoughts was going to be a judge. And then, you know, obviously it's Harry's daughter now. And so, you know, what's he going to do?
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's got a great cast that we know of. And the source material, Night Court, is a goddamn classic. So cannot wait to watch this.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I'm very excited to see this as well, and I cannot wait for it. But Ron, I hear there is some D&D news about an evolution of the game coming in 2024?
Yeah, there was at their press conference, there's going to be a major rules update in 2024 from the Future of D&D panel, and it's to coincide with the 50th anniversary of D&D. Basically, I scanned through this, and I'm just going to give you, it looks to be basically 5.5. They haven't given any rules changes yet or anything. It just says it's going to, the fifth edition is going to be backwards compatible, just like third edition was when 3.5 came out.
Okay.
And it may not be it's not going to be technically sixth edition. It's not going to be, you know, fifth edition. So it's going to be in that little sweet spot. The joke is every time they produce the dragon book about all the dragons in the couple years later, they do this.
Okay. So basically they do it and then they fuck it all up.
Yeah. And so, which is fine. Like I said, there, it'll be some rule updates. Like they do, they'll try to streamline some things from what they did. But all joking aside, 3.5 was a fan favorite. It was so good that when fourth edition came out, another company popped up because they're like, we don't like fourth edition, so we're just going to all go over here and make Pathfinder, which was basically what fourth edition should have been.
Okay.
And that's how Pathfinder got started, because of open gaming licenses. So the fact that through third edition and 3.5 were that good that it spawned a whole new D&D-esque game, and now you got Pathfinder and Starfinder, which is their own company, their own world, where, like I said before, you're making superheroes there because that's what you need to do there, this shouldn't be that bad. Okay. You know, they're not going to 6th edition because they probably know it'd probably be a little because people are enjoying 5th edition. I think it's just going to be streamlining rules, fix a couple things that they do, and give us some new things. I think you're going to see levels 20 through 30 or 21 through 30 epic levels. That's my guess. So with that means obviously there'll be some new monsters and, you know, challenge ratings and ability, maybe even have a sub block in there to help you adjust monsters that you have, so you can have a zombie and be like, okay, this is how you stat it up.
Okay.
I'm going on a far limb because those are things I would like to see. I would like to see the chart of 21 through 30, level cap at 30, epic adventures, and even if it's just, you know, minor little things they go through, just you, like, you might not be getting like the big stuff that you do through normal gaming, like the from, you know, start to 20th, you know, you might get, it just might be the quick chart, unless they want to pay the, or unless they want to do put it all out, and then each class will have subclasses maybe or something else and stuff like that. That's just my take on it all. I think it'll be fine. I think it's a smart move not to go into directly into a sixth edition. That's just my take. But that's pretty much all it is.
There you go. All right. That right on. We'll keep you posted as it gets closer to 2024. It's a little ways off still, but I understand you have to make the announcements early to get people kind of ready and excited for it. It's a big game. A lot of people, fandom is real.
That will be because they'll test some rules. Yeah. You'll, if you follow them, they'll obviously put out a couple different rule tests. They do that all the time. If your group allows that, if your DM allows that, then you can use them in your campaign setting. They're just not legal like in the current league status. So it's just one of those things, if you're playing league rules, you're not going to be able to get there.
Blows my mind.
No, I get
like
it.
Magic where it's like a competition. It's, so why do you need like league rules? It blows my mind.
It's just there. So when, if you do like, if you do a con or something, everybody's, you're in this box.
Yeah.
So you do a con, like a game, Dragon Con, you know, you go and you can sign up to do a D&D campaign with one of the creators or one of the authors of a campaign, and you literally sit there and go, this is my character, this is the game that we set, this is the league rules, or this was league play, here it is, and you know, you just play with that character that's already there. So it's just how it works.
Streamlining.
Yeah.
It's good to streamline.
Yeah. And it works because, you know, you're able to just to show up and be like, hey, I have this character. I've already played this character. I know what the character does and how to use it. And, you know, obviously strange things happen, like when two characters show up with the Sun Sword from Ravenloft because they both went through the Ravenloft campaign and got the Sun Sword. The game's just like, yeah, you both have a Sun Sword. I'm not red counting where one doesn't or you both don't. Like, you guys did your work. You did your, you know. So
funsies.
Yeah, and that's all it's going to be, I think, is just quick.
Well, we have one more news story before we kick off into the break. And, of course, that is that in a weird angle, in a world where things are changing forever to be prude and Puritan, we have now got Jessica Rabbit has been claimed.
What?
So they're adding at Disneyland, they are adding Jessica Rabbit to the Roger Rabbit's cartoon spin ride, which is a dark ride at Disneyland in California. And they redesigned Jessica Rabbit. So do you want to know what the redesign was? I mean, I know you guys have seen the picture, and some of you at home, if you haven't, look it up. It's interesting. But the redesign swaps Jessica Rabbit's famous glittering red dress and gloves for a trench coat and fedora. Also, she's in black and white from the picture we got. I don't know if that's that in the ride. I do want to say, the first thing I thought is, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Like, what the fuck did they do there? And Carmen Sandiego is going to sue someone's ass. PBS, I should say, because that's who owns the rights to that, as far as I know. So, Diesel, how are you feeling about them putting your girl in a fedora and trench coat?
I get it. You can't, like, use the over-sexualized character. And as long as it makes sense in the story that they're trying to tell on the ride, I think it's kind of cool. Like, if she's, like, trying to, like, give you secret information, like, I get it.
This is not the Diesel I know.
Oh, I'll still jerk off to it when I go home. But, like,
holy shit!
I'm not gonna freak out over Jessica Rabbit being in a trench coat, because then it leads to the imagination, what's under the trench coat? Oh, I might start jerking off on the ride.
Oh my god. Anisha had your kids, had your wife, and had your husband because they raping everybody out here.
Ladies and gentlemen, Diesel. Rod, do you have anything to add to that?
It is just the way it goes. I mean, it's, you know, like it or not, it's Disney. It's, yeah, they're gonna change what they need to change, right, to keep things irrelevant, and In whatever. I don't care either way.
I mean, like, let's be honest. Everybody's doing it. It's fine. Yeah. I don't give a shit. I've never been into animated porn anyway, so it doesn't fucking bother me to begin with. Diesel's just shrugging his shoulders, so obviously.
I may have delved.
Obviously, it is what it is. I'm not judging. I'm not here to judge. If you're into that, fine. I'm happy for you. That should be something that you're into. But I just am not, so it doesn't really affect me too much, you know. Hey, good on them. At least they didn't really fucking shit the bed with it. Yeah. Like they could have gone they could have put her in one of those Puritan dresses.
Like as long as it makes sense for the story that the ride is trying to tell, it works. And then you can just be like really creepy in the men's room afterwards. Yeah. You know, tap your toe underneath the door stall.
Oh, whoa.
You get all that worked up. Oh yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Anyways, with that being said, though, folks, that'll end the nerd news, and that is going to end the opening segment of the show. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with the main event of the show, the second segment, Diesel's movie triple stuff. You remember, we did a little bit of reformatting, but you still will be coming. We'll be coming back with the box office, the top three, and, of course, this week's Diesel's Movie Club review, which is a fucking near and dear movie to a lot of anime people's hearts, and that, of course, is the legendary Akira. All that and more when we come back from this break.
What's up, nerds? Tyler Mack here from the 30 and Nerdy podcast, the flagship show of Bad Cast Company Productions. Now, you are currently tuned in to my favorite three fat nerds, Rich, Ron, and Diesel, our Nerd Council brothers. After you're done with this amazing show, zoom on over to 30 and Nerdy podcast wherever you cast your pod. Hit the subscribe button, give us a rating and a review, and check out 30andnerdypodcast.com. Cheers to you, nerds.
Welcome back to Diesel's Movie Triple Stuff. Got the top five for you this week. Coming in at number five, Clint Eastwood movie Cry Macho with another $2.1 million.
That's pretty good. That's streaming as well, I do believe.
Yes, right? It is.
Yeah. So for a grand total so far of $8.3 million. Number four this week, Candyman with another $2.5 million.
It's making all the fucking money. And it's out on digital now. If you haven't seen it, check it out.
Number three, still on the list, Free Guy with another $4.1 million.
That is really making all the money. And Ron's gone to see it at least five times.
I decided to go see it over instead of Cop Shop.
I still have to go see Cop Shop.
I didn't go see anything.
Number two this week, Dear Evan Hansen with $7.5 million.
Okay.
I have no idea what that is.
And then number one again with $13.3 million, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Once again, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah,
nothing has dethroned it yet because there's nothing big that comes out until
October 1st. We have Venom, Let There Be Carnage, The Many Saints of Newark, the second Addams Family animated movie, and then the following week on October 8th, we have No Time to Die.
That's right. So No Time to Die coming out the week after. This week's big winner will probably be Venom.
Yeah.
And then it'll last for 1 week because it's COVID era, and then No Time to Die will be taking over. I'm going to hopefully go see that in New York City on premiere night.
Nice.
I'll be down there, take advantage of my Regal Pass because it works in New York City too, baby. Woo! That being said, Diesel, what do we got for top three this week?
Top three is for my boy Shane out there. Your top three favorite magic sets.
Three favorite magic sets. Okay, so my third one is going to be a cop-out completely because it's not a set, but it is a set to me. And that's my lovely, lovely collection of Godzilla cards because of the wonderful Ricky who gave me all them. So thank you, Ricky, here at Dragon Master Games. Shout outs to him. And I know it's not a full-on set because it did come out of Ikora.
Ikora, yeah.
But I just love them because they're fucking great all arts that are... They did a great job with them. And I have all of them, actually. The Japanese and the American versions. So very good. So I'm going to pick them as three. Like I said, a cop-out. If you really want, I'll say Ikora. Although I've never played the set, really. I'll just say that because I love those cards. Though, the next two I did play. Number two, because it holds a special place in my heart, because when I started playing Magic, it was Gatecrash.
Yep.
I enjoyed playing Gate Crash because it was fucking fast-paced and everything else, and that was the first set I played, so it has a special place in my heart. And number one, because I got to play it right around the same time, of course, was Innistrad, which I thought was fucking amazing, and I like that we've gone back there a couple times now, including right now.
Yep.
So those are my top three sets.
Number three is technically probably a cop-out, but it's going to be Unlimited. Just because I started in Revise, but like the go-to cards were Unlimited at the time, because who knew that was going to blow up the way it did? I mean, when I started playing, you could get any dual land you wanted for $15 to $20.
Yep.
And I kicked myself in the ass because I'm like, maybe I can get a pack and I can get that. Should have just been buying dual lands.
If you knew now what you knew then, we'd be fucking sitting on cash money.
Oh, because I literally, you could have walked in to any place and $20 was the high ones, and it wasn't even the blue ones at the time.
If I had a time machine, I'd go back and just start buying up all that shit back then and just... I'm just going to set this aside. I'm going to put it in the sleeve so it's fucking mint and just set it to the side.
Yep. Number two, it's one... I enjoyed Weatherlight. I know it wasn't good.
Oh, Weatherlight was a fun set.
It was a fun set. It was good lore. That was back when the stories were good. I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the cards for the most part. And then number one is Innistrad for me. I mean, that was the best Magic I've ever played. I'm not gonna lie. Like the best drafts I've ever done, the best cracking packs I've ever done. All in all, like the story was good. The cracking the packs were good. The drafts, I drafted that thing every time I chance, and it was some of my best Magic playing. Nice. Not even gonna lie about it.
Awesome. Diesel.
Number three, I'm also going with the nostalgia one for me. I got in at fourth edition. And especially the starters, not the single decks, but the two-player ones.
Oh, yeah.
For $20, that's what got me. I'm like, because it just had the Magic back as a box, and it just looked cool as shit. And I was like, what's this game? Picked it up and loved it. You know, I had a Leviathan in one of the packs and a Shivan Dragon, and I was like hooked. Next, we're going to go to number two. We're going to go with Tempest, actually. Same thing as Weatherlight, but I think Tempest had some better art. I like the art for that set a lot more.
Okay.
Right.
And then number one, super hyped for the Brothers War coming out, so I'm going to go with the original Urza Saga block. Just that whole block.
Well, yeah, it was overpowered,
It was overpowered, but we're going back to the Brothers War next year, and I cannot.
Oh, are we?
Nice. Yeah. There you go. Set's coming out.
Nice. There you go. Top three. I think those are very good lists. But now, let's get to that Diesel's Movie Club review. And Diesel, what did you pick for this week?
We went with the anime classic from the 80s, I believe, Akira.
That's right. Akira was released on July 16th, 1988, with a runtime of 124 minutes. And, of course, it is in Japanese. You get it subtitled, and you can also get it dubbed these days as well. It was distributed by Toho Studios. It was produced by Reiho Suzuki and Shuzan Kato, and it was based on the anime book, which would be Akira by Katsuro Otomo. Sorry, and the screenplay and directed by Katsuro Otomo as well. Izo Hashimoto was also was on the screenplay as well. He's credited as a writer, I should say. The budget for this movie was 700 million yen, which equated at the time to $5.5 million.
Okay.
And do you want to guess what the box office for this? By the way, this is domestic box office. This is not Japanese box office.
Ooh. So I don't even know.
I would say probably did decent, probably like $10 million.
Okay. Ron, if you had just a ballpark. $10 million was a good guess, I gotta say.
12.
I'm going to fucking blow your guys' minds. $49 million.
Holy shit.
We knew this movie was legendary, but I don't know if we ever thought it was that legendary that it brought in all that money. Of course, Akira, just giving you a quick synopsis of the movie. Akira is basically a animated movie for in a post-apocalyptic cyberpunk action film. And it has to deal with we have a hero of our movie. By the way, greatest opening scene of all fucking time. There is no better opening scene in this movie than the open of this movie. Any movie, not just anime, but we've talked about this on the show before. We get introduced to our character on a motorcycle, and he's blazing through the highway on the way to New Tokyo, post-apocalyptic Tokyo, and he's actually in a fight that you don't know until we start seeing him slice and dice motherfuckers in half on a motorcycle. Fucking wonderful open. The movie goes on, and you know, he's basically trying to save... Is it his sister I think it's his sister. Could be wrong.
I thought it was a girlfriend, but
it could be his girlfriend. It's either girlfriend or sister. I can't. I off the top of my head, I'm a little foggy on that. But then he finds out like the truth about the post-apocalyptic world and mutants. It's fucking real crazy, yeah. But it's real good. Diesel, I'll let you go first with your review. What did you dig about the Akira?
Definitely, what you said about the opening scene still holds up after. Jesus Christ, we're at what? 30-some years
now. We are currently at 33 years.
Yeah.
It's been out for 33 years.
This movie is still the gold standard for most anime. Like, this is the goal that you strive to achieve for. It was ahead of its time in animation, ahead of its time in everything in that aspect. Like, it brought, you know, the Japanese animation style to America, and I didn't think it was that big in America at the time, but we loved it.
Yeah, we definitely loved it.
This one, it still holds up after 33 years, and you would not think, you know, an 80s anime, it was going to hold up, but it does, and it's still beautiful, and it's still violent and gory, and it's great. Yeah.
Ron, what did, what quick review, kind of a quick review of it?
Really, when I first saw it, it was actually when Sci-Fi was first starting off.
Yeah.
So Sci-Fi started their anime stuff at, like, midnight or something. Yep. So I watched it first there, because I'm not going to lie, my parents, we didn't have internet and stuff. And, you know.
Well, back, even in the 90s.
But it was still, I didn't get into anime until way later.
Oh, way later.
So, because I didn't have, nobody around here got into it really at first. So, like, even like the little stupid chat rooms and stuff, like back then, like, so I, like, it came out, I'm like, all right, you know, I'll give it a shot, you know, and I loved it. Like, watched it with commercials and didn't even realize there was commercials, like, plain and simple. Mm-hmm. Like, because I would digest what was just done. And then I was like, okay. And then I think I watched it twice that way back then. And then I never picked up the copy, which I'm surprising. But it's one of those movies that got me, I will say, got me into more into looking into anime and the style. Now, of course, I've seen a lot more. And this is still one of the ones to watch. If you haven't seen it, watch it.
I have 3 different copies of this movie. I should tell you that. I have a collector's edition DVD. I have the DVD, the first DVD version of it that I bought. I have a collector's edition DVD, and now I have the Blu-ray.
Nice.
So I love this movie. I saw this movie for the first time. It was not in 88. If I had to put a date on it, I would have to say I was around 10, so we're going to talk 1993. I had some, my cousins were big into Kung Fu movies, because Kung Fu movies were big, and they were into anime, like, and Akira is the Akira. Like, it's,
yeah.
So one night I was staying up later than I should have been. It was probably like 1 o'clock in the morning, and they put this on, and I used to fall asleep around then, but I stayed up the whole 2 hours of this movie, enthralled with this movie, and since that day forth, I go back to watch it. I probably watch this movie every 2 years.
Yeah.
And I love the movie to this day. I'm not the biggest anime fan, I'm gonna be honest. There's animes that I do like. I do enjoy Cowboy Bebop, which is why I'm enjoying the live action coming out. And there's some others that I obviously enjoy as well, but I'm not like your typical, like, I'm in all in on anime, but Akira I'm all in on, and I've been all in on for fucking years. Like I said, I go on the limb all the time and say this movie has the greatest opening scene of any movie, not just anime, live action of all time, any movie. And if you haven't seen it, check it out. It is on Tubi for free. And it's also on Hulu with a subscription. Yep. So nice. Check out Akira if you've never seen it. But, ladies and gentlemen, before we give our scores for Akira, you know what time it is.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
All right. Diesel squeaked out the victory last week. Ron squeaked out the victory. You guys keep changing back and forth.
Yeah, it's been.
Ron become to defend the title for the first time in a while? We'll find out now. Of course, it is Price is Right rules. Whoever comes close without going over, unless we have to use the tiebreaker, and then it's the closest to the number, because we have to have a winner. So, with that being said, are you gentlemen ready?
Goddamn right.
I will tell you what, we do have a new one to the party, obviously, because it's an anime. We'll get to that second. Because first up is IMDb. Out of 10, you can use points. What did IMDb give this movie?
No points needed, a solid 9.
Ronald!
9.1. What?
8 out of 10.
Oh,
8 out of 10 on IMDb.
I should have went through that.
They're a little harder. All right, Ron. AnimeList.net. Out of 10, using points, what did they give Akira?
8.5.
Diesel.
9.
God what?
Damn it.
8.2.
Oh, fuck animelist.net.
All right. Rotten Tomatoes combined score Diesel out of 100%.
I'm going one over you. We're going over all these. I'm making 87.
88.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, they avoided that. Ron gets the point, 90%.
I dropped down for my solid 9.
Oh, all right.
Cocksuckers. Okay. I told you what I was doing.
Okay. This final one is for 2 points, and it's closest to the number. Google users. And Ron, you get to go first. Or no. Yeah, Ron gets to go first. Google users, out of 100%, what did they give this?
Oh, fuck yes. 90.
93. Ron defends the title. It was 91%.
Ooh.
So he was closer. So 91%, winner, winner, chicken dinner. Now it is time for us to give it our nerd scores. And I'll just start it off. I'm going to tell you right now, of course, if you guys don't remember the list, it is 1 through 5. 1 is just no. 2 is you've been warned. 3 is it's okay. 4 is just take my money. And 5 is certified nerd. And I have zero problems telling you this is a certified nerd. Fucking, this is a 5 all day certified nerd. For, in my opinion, Diesel.
Certified nerd 5. This is a gold standard for anime.
I will just say 4 just to be a little different. Not because it's bad. Just because of the fact of what it is. If you're not into anime, if you don't like anime, watch this. Like,
It'll get you into anime.
Yeah, it'll get you into anime. You just gotta find your niche in anime. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I'm a Naruto fan. And everybody knows. It's like these guys laugh at me every time. Like, but
well, if you're all playing along at home, next week's Diesel's Movie Club will be the brand new movie Venom: Let There Be Carnage. So we will be talking about that next week on the show during this segment, the final segment. So guys, make sure that if you want to go see it, if you want to see it, of course, we'll give you the spoiler alert next week, because obviously it's spoilers and it's something that's in the theater. And then we'll get you with the rest. We're going to be writing out probably the rest of the year's list here soon, because I'm going to put in the movies and then that are coming out new, and then we're going to fill in the blanks, basically. I know October we have a couple big ones back to back, because we have Venom and probably No Time to Die, I would say, that we're going to do. And then we won't be doing Halloween Kills on this show, because Diesel will not watch it, but we will be doing Halloween Kills on Horror Zone 607, obviously.
I'm coming in for that one though.
That's fine, you can, because we have to balance out Mike C somehow, because you know he's no matter what he's going to hate it. But anyways,
I don't understand.
So with that being said, so there's a couple of the next couple weeks planned out for you: Venom, Let There Be Carnage, and then No Time to Die, and then so on. We'll give you the rest of them. So with that being said, and I'm also going to be starting a list on the website. We're going to be starting a list of our certified nerds based off the Diesel Movie Club coming up from now in the future. We should have been doing this the whole time, but the name says it all. We're 3 fat nerds. Fat equates to lazy at times. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I have no problem meaning that.
Sometimes.
Ron, sometimes. All right, but with that being said, it is time to pay them bills. It's time for them shameless plugs. That means if you can hear my voice, you know how to find us. But do your friends know how to find us? Do their friends know how to find us? It's simple. You tell them to type 3 fat nerds into any podcast provider. Remember, it's for everything we say here. It is the number 3, not the word 3. Booyakasha, it will come right up for you. And while you're there, you might as well hit that follow or subscribe button, so it'll automatically come to you each and every week.
We're also on Facebook. Type in that search bar, 3 Fat Nerds Podcast. There you're going to find our page. Then you're going to like our page. And then you're going to comment, rate, review, help us spread the word of nerd.
And of course, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, 3 Fat Nerds Pod. Throw an at in front of it if you have to. And of course, whenever you're talking about the podcast on any of our social medias, use the hashtag 3FNPod.
If you're still fuming about that last Patreon break, 3fatnerdspod@gmail.com.
Of course, we are on Twitch, twitch.tv/607podcast. Make sure you sign up and follow for that, because we got a lot of tons of stuff coming up, including every week, 607 TWS, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Mondays. Of course, we took a week off this week, so if you guys are hearing this, sorry, but that's because I have to be a parent. And then nextly, of course, if you'd like to support the show monetarily for as little as $1 a month and get a ton of extra bonus content, patreon.com/8122productions. Of course, you get this show every week early, and it's the uncut, unedited, uncooked edition. Trust me, if you want to hear about that controversy that Diesel just spoke of, or just what happened on my little trip to Fright Fest at Six Flags Great Adventure, you want to sign up for that. And every week we give you all that funny and more. Of course, Horror Zone 607 comes to you early with bonus content as well. And then we have I Love Movies and Love is Scary with Dr. Derek and Spooky Mike as the Patreon exclusives to give you the most bang for your buck. And you still have time if you sign up by the 30th of September. In the $3 tier, that's the highest tier we have. That's the Chubby Chaser tier. Everybody in October is getting a free shirt, an exclusive 3FN shirt. If you sign up, you will get one in that tier as a thank you. Patreon.com/8122Productions.
Do my ears deceive me? Did you say 8122 Productions?
I sure as hell did, Diesel.
As in H to the double T to the P to the colon to the backslash to the other backslash to the 81 double deuce productions. .com.
You know, you can only use one backslash if you want, but Diesel's still stuck in the past where double backslash was a thing. He is really showing his age, ladies and gentlemen.
And there's no forward slash anymore.
Yes, so it's just a slash. It's just a slash.
Yep.
Yeah.
Diesel. That's how old you are, Diesel.
That's how old you are.
Stole a pound sign, you assholes. Fuck your hashtags.
Well, with that being said, if you want to hit him up at Big Natty Cool on Twitter and hashtag 3FNPod. Anyways, 8122Productions.com for all things 8122 Productions. Find out all about the Three Fat Nerds, Horror Zone 607, 607 TWS, and all so much more. We got our friends of the show, like the Ocho Duro Parley Hour podcast. They're listed there. Our friends over at Sci-Fi Horror Fest. Our friends, you know, out there, our musical friends. You know, especially the band who provides us with the great music that you hear in the theme song. That, of course, shout out the robots. Also, shout outs to Second Suitor, Tom Jolu, Floodlands, the Jasons from West Virginia, and, of course, the Foss Fiends from Melbourne, Australia. Thank you for letting us use your music. You guys hear their great music each and every week on this podcast. And guess what? Support them over there. You got links to support them right on the website. And, of course, you can stream shows and everything from the website. It's a fucking great place. The Tee Public Store, the link is on the website. And of course, all this is down in the liner notes of this podcast in case you forgot anything we talked about. Plus, at 8122productions.com, Diesel, did you know that we have local sponsors?
Boy, goddamn right I do.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to shout them out right now, though. First of all, the people who provide us with the 8122 Production Studios. That's right, Dragon Master Games, located at 1235 Upper Front Street in Binghamton, New York. For all your Magic the Gathering and gaming needs, visit them on the World Wide Web, DragonMasterGames.com. And of course, if you're passing through the 607 or live in the 607 and you want to visit the area's premier game shop, you know what you do? And you want to find out about any events or specials that are going on? It's simple. You follow them on Facebook, Dragon Master Games.
Yeah, thank you to Rex Terod's Auto Detailing, located at 2004 North Street, Endicott, New York. To call for an appointment, call 607-644-3389. When you're ready to put the pride back in your ride, don't forget to tell them the Three Fat Nerds sent you.
Guess what, Ron? You're up.
1 out of 10 stars. I hated this dross, but you may like it. I suppose this film is okay for people who like a bit of romance and stuff, but never has anything so overhyped and laden with awards been, in my opinion, so utterly lifeless and uninspiring. I'll be honest with you all that I could not watch this film in one sitting. I also believe that remakes of exiting films always tend to be a disappointment and a letdown. In this case, Titanic lived up to my expectations totally. Gentlemen, watch this if your partner insists, but tell them you may not be able to endure the whole film in one sitting. Over-the-top romance, you will probably enjoy this. Anyway, I am not a heartless or unromantic person. I just could not face any more of this film. 1 out of 10 stars. Titanic just sucks.
People. Newsflash, this wasn't a remake, unless you're trying to consider it as a remake of A Night to Remember. And it's not a remake of that because it's a different fucking story.
And what kind of incel eunuch wrote this review? I can't deal with the romance.
Macer01, August 16th, 2004.
What, did you have your testicles chopped off?
Get him.
Oh, my God. Like, oh, my God, there's a little bit of a love story in here. Oh, my God, I just wanted to watch Boat Sink. Fuck you.
You know what it was. He tuned in for Billy Zane. All the sexiness.
All right, I'm back on your side. It needed more Billy Zane.
Well, with that being said, thank you guys for tuning in. Once again, we came with the funny. We came with the entertainment. Or at least I hope we did. We definitely came with pop culture and nerdom. And with that being said, until next week, when we're going to be straight in your ear holes once again, as we are each and every week, for myself and the guys, I say, you know what? Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And later, nerds.
Later.
Seriously, he had to eat at a Subway. He's paid enough.
Titanic just sucks, people.